Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
You know, there's a chorus that we sometimes sing in church, and actually I'm not too sure how much we really believe the words to that chorus, though, because well, maybe we just like to think about it being a feel-good song or forget all about it shortly after we finish the last note. How many of you actually go home and remember what songs we sing in church? Some do, some don't, you know. How many go home and remember what was preached in church? Some do, some don't. Sometimes I don't remember. But sometimes, though, we just, you know, it kind of is there, and we're blessed at the moment, and then we go out the door, and we go out, and all the troubles and trials and tribulations and things that go on around us just seems to drain us of all the things that that we have. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon where we used the words of this chorus, "Let's have a revival. From the pulpit to the pew, let's have a revival. Let it start with me and you, that reaches out to a lost and hungry world to bring them in. This is our joy. It's our survival. Let's pray for a Holy Ghost arrival. Let's have a revival." How many of you remember that message a couple of weeks ago? Well, we got one hand went up anyway. You know, but I want to talk really about three words that are in that chorus. And first of all, I want to state, though, that we do need revival, not just to make us feel good or to brag to others how spiritual our church is, but that we can be revived in our spirit, that we can feel that anointing of God, that we can feel that presence, that when we walk through the door into the church house, we can feel the presence of God in our midst. Three words. On the cross, Jesus uttered three very important words. So sometimes just a few words can be very important. Jesus uttered three very important words on the cross that we find in John chapter 19, verse 30. And it says, "And when Jesus had received of the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowed his head and gave up the ghost." I looked that up in another translation, and it reads, "It is accomplished." He is stating there, the work is done. It's happened. It's taken place. It's finished. You know, we've watched a few programs on television lately about that involve building of houses and some other things. And one of them is they got to a certain point on the house, they put a little fir tree up on top. And you see it happening here too sometimes, that they'll put a tree up on top. They call it a topping off ceremony, especially of large buildings when they put, and that's to signify that a certain portion of the work is completed. And when Jesus died on the cross, our salvation was completed. All that's left now to do is for us to accept it. Just like these buildings that they build and they top them off and they say, "This part is finished," and the whole structure then later is complete, it is still up to somebody to move into it before it's any good. And we need to take advantage of the salvation that God has offered us for it to be good in our life. Salvation doesn't do us any good if we don't accept it, if we don't let it take place in our life, if we don't let it be finished in our life. So three words can be very important. And the three words in the scripture or in that chorus that we're talking about there, it's our survival. It's our survival. You know, we live in an information age, and those of you that have computers realize, and the internet, you realize that you can get all sorts of information. And you can find out something that's going on halfway around the world, short time after it happens. And in some cases, almost at the same time that it happens, you can receive that information. And as I get resources from various Christian magazines and early other Christian resources, a lot of them have projected a lot of things that are going to be taking place in the near future. And I was reading a very interesting article about the churches in America. And one survey that was done recently has projected that 100,000, again, that's 100,000 churches in America will decline at an accelerated rate. Look around us. We see it happening. We see it happening all around us. In fact, Dr. Tom Rainer, president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, stated in a recent article, 16 Trends in American Churches in 2016. And here's what he said. Accelerated decline of 100,000 American congregations. Historically, American congregations have been tenacious and survived, that's that word, survived, beyond most expectations. That reality is no longer true. Ineffective churches will decline rapidly as churchgoers are unwilling to be a part of congregations that are not making a difference. As a church, we need to make a difference. We need to be something that is different. We are in the world in the sense that we have to live in this world, but the Bible tells us we're not to be part of it in that sense. We have to live here, but we are to separate ourselves from the world and not partake of the things of the world that are ungodly. And yet we see so many churches in attention and an effect to bring people in that they bring the world into the church. And the church becomes worldly rather than godly. He closes the article with these words. But for other churches, new opportunities abound. For decades, churches could choose a path of modest and no change and do okay. That is not the case today. For those congregations that are eager and are willing to face the culture and God's power and strength, and there again are some key words, God's power and strength. We cannot do it on our own. We need the power of God and the strength of God moving in our midst and in our congregation to be able to go on. They will likely see incredible opportunities for ministry and growth. It's our survival. We have to have God's power. We have to have God's presence in our midst. We have to have God working in our life if we are going to survive. We need revival. 110 years ago, give or take a little bit there, the fires of revival began to burn on Azusa Street in downtown Los Angeles, California. There had been outbreaks of revival in other areas over the prior years, but nothing like what would happen there. And there, a little blind in one eye, scar-pocked-faced son of a former slave led a revival service in a little kind of ramshackle building there on Azusa Street. An outcrop of that revival that took place in that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit like it was on the day of Pentecost, and revival fires fanned and broke out across America, and we had that great move of what we call the Pentecostal movement that took place in the early 1900s as people begin to receive the power of God in their life. But unfortunately, it seems to have waned. The flame seems to have gone down. Where is that fire? Where is that anointing? Where is that move of God that we need to have in our lives? As a result of that, hundreds of thousands would be saved. New churches and denominations were birthed, and revival fires would sweep the land. I was fortunate to grow up during the time of some of those revival fires. And I remember going to church when you could walk through the door of the church and you felt the presence of God in that building when you walked through the front door. And you still felt it when you walked out the door when you left, and it went with you a lot of times all the way to your house. And I remember going into services where that the presence of God was so strong that we left and went home, and we still had a move of God when we got home. How many churches really have a move of God in their midst today? How many? Most people who were born after 1970 don't remember or have never experienced that revival like swept the nation and swept the world back then. That revival went on out and changed the world. But now the world is changing the church. The world is changing the church. You don't have revival without that Holy Ghost arrival. You state that again. You do not have revival without that Holy Ghost arrival. Oh, you can have a service and you can have some good singing and you can have a lot of good things take place and you can feel good and you can have, you walk out the door feeling good, but unless the power of God is there, unless the Holy Ghost is there, you really don't have revival. You just came in and felt good. Well, you can go to a lot of things and feel good. So what do we do? Dr. Rainier stated that our churches need to change to survive. We need that change that only the power of God through the Holy Spirit can bring. We need the Holy Spirit to bring that change in our midst. We need the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. We need revival fires. The power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. We can make changes. We can change the program. Some places they've changed the program, the layout, everything. I was watching one church service on television a few weeks ago. And instead of being pews like we have here, they had little tables, kind of like what you would have at a restaurant or a coffee house. And everybody's, you know, sitting in groups of four or five around a table. And that's how they had their service. And maybe that works for some people, I don't know. But you can change like that. We can change the songs. We changed some of the songs we sing. In fact, quite honestly, the songs I grew up singing, and maybe some of the rest of you here grew up singing, churches hardly sing anymore. And I kind of miss some of them. Had a lot of good words in them. Had a lot of power in them. We can change the preacher. Some churches, they don't like what the preacher has to say. Maybe they got convicted. Maybe he preached a good message. They got convicted. Oh, no, no, no. I got to change this preacher. He's making us feel bad. You know, let's get one in here that's going to make us feel good. You see, we live in an age when everybody wants to feel good. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that when you are serving God that you're going to feel good all the time. Because when you need a change in your life and the power of God is convicting you of something that you've done wrong, you're going to feel bad. Think about it. You go out and you do something. Maybe you go to the store and I don't know, something happens and you end up, the cashier gives you too much change back. Anybody ever have that happen? I've had it happen to me. They give me too much change back. And in fact, I had one cashier one time give me back more money than what I gave her. And, we soon stick it in our pocket and walk on out. Wow, God blessed me today. No, he didn't. If the Holy Ghost begins his dwelling in your life, you'll feel convicted. You know that money is not yours. Maybe part of it is, but not all of it. Now, there's been occasions I've had somebody, and I've stuck the chin, and I found out later, and sometimes I've gone back when I was able to and given them the money back. Here, you gave me too much. Because I knew it wasn't mine. You don't feel good until you've made it right. So it is not a religion of where all you're going to do is feel good. You can sing that song, I feel good, and that's great when the power of God is moving in your life. You feel good, but also when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there are times you're going to feel bad. Because the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And the way to get to feel good again is do what's right. We need revival. We need it to survive. If we don't let the Holy Ghost change us, we're lost. We're living in a day when people are out there doing everything that they can to try to destroy and to dispute the fact that there even is God. And trying to tell us that what we're doing is a bunch of nonsense. Our kids are going to school and being indoctrinated into things that are not of God. They're either being told there is no God, or they're being told that there is but one God, and that God is Allah. We had it happen here in our own schools just a few months back. And fortunately, in our community, there was an outrage that took place when people begin to stand up and say, we're not going to stand for this. But I still read about it happening in schools across America today, where students come home, they show their parents the homework that they have been given, and if they don't do it the way the teacher wants them to, they are failed in their class. We need the Holy Ghost arrival. It's our survival. We need that power of God to survive. I know there are people that go to church every week and say, oh, well, it won't hurt them. You know, they'll get over it. But a lot of things that are planted in a young person's mind may not stick right then, but sometimes it comes to fruition down the road. And somebody else comes along a little bit later and plants that other seed and begins to water it then, and it begins to grow in their mind. And they're lost. I want to see the change where that when people walk through the door, they will feel the power of God. I think back, and I've told you before, of some of the services that we were in back in the 60s and 70s, even in the 50s. We're not going to bring the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s back. I don't want to go back to living in the 50s, 60s, and 70s because I enjoy some of the advantages technologically that we have today. But I would like to live in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s in the sense of the church world where we have a seek and desire that move of God, where his presence is so important to us that we'd rather be in the presence of God and have the power of God in our lives than to eat or sleep. Because you see, back then we'd go to church at 7 o'clock on midweek service and stay till midnight, get up the next morning and go to work, come home that evening and do it again for maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time, because we wanted the power of God moving in our lives. We needed it. We needed it. I want to see a change that people will mob the altar seeking salvation. How many churches do you see where people walk down the aisle and ask Jesus Christ into their heart and life? Oh, some we see where they walk down and shake somebody's hand and they say, God bless you, brother. Now you're a child of God. Or sister, you're a child of God. But I don't see any repentance involved in some of that. Because it says, unless you repent of your sins, and that means to turn away from them, turn your back on them, go the opposite direction. So when you repent and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you will become a changed person. So unless that change takes place, shaking the preacher's hand, you can do it every day of the year, and you'll still never make it unless you have that change that takes place in your heart. You can walk down to the altar and you can recite a scripted prayer. And unless you really mean it, it isn't going to do you any good. It's just some more words that you've recited. The change has to take place in the heart. And when it takes place in the heart, it will become reflected then on the outside, and people will begin to know that that change has taken place in your heart. We need change. We need power of God. We need people's lives being changed. We need the lives of Christians being changed. We need them to seek and to desire that move of God in the sense that the power of God will come upon them. They will feel God's presence and they will be that lighthouse, that beacon that God calls you to be to the world that's around you. He didn't call everyone to reach out to the whole world. Your whole world is sometimes just your neighborhood. It may even sometimes just be your household that God is calling you to reach out to. But when you begin to reach out to them, God will use you and God will bless you and God will cause it to be fruitful. We're all different. Thank God for difference. Wouldn't it be boring if we were all the same? You know, we all like the same kind of breakfast cereal. We all liked the same type of hamburgers. I like McDonald's hamburgers. My wife hates them. You know? It makes life interesting. We have those things taking place. We need that power of God. We need God taking place in our lives and for our power that we need. We need a change that the sick will be healed. Used to, the sick could come to church, walk through the door sick, and walk back out the door healed. We don't see that often anymore. Maybe in a few places. The sick were healed. I want to see me change. I want that power of God in my life, like I'm talking about. I want it to be expanded and reach out to the places that God opens up for me to be. I want you to be changed. I want to see you changed, that you let God move in your life to where He can use you to reach out to those people that He's put you in contact with. I've said it before, and I'm not the only one that said it. But there are people that I will reach that you will never see or know. And there are people that you will reach that I will never see or know. And if they're depending upon me to reach them, then they're out of luck. But God has called you to reach them. God has called you to be that lighthouse to them. God has called you to be that beacon to them that will bring about their survival. When a ship goes down at sea, a lot of times a multitude of lives are lost because of various factors that take place. But if they have enough lifeboats, if they have enough life vests, and they have all the equipment that they need, then the vast majority will survive. And we need to reach out to be equipped to bring into the world a surviving message of Jesus Christ and His love for them, and that He is the only way to salvation. He is the only way to God. That's our way to survive. It's strictly through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that He sent to dwell in us, to help us, to motivate us, to drive us, to give us correction, to give us insight, to give us knowledge in the things that He has sent us out to do. I want you to survive. You know, there's a lot of people out there talking about survival, selling survival foods. Stock up on this. Send us that $1,000 or however much it is to buy X number of days of survival food. And I've told people, you get that survival food, something does take place, you better be prepared to shoot somebody. You better be prepared to take somebody else's life, because they're going to come for it. That's not the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. I put my trust in Him. I put my confidence in Him. I believe He is my salvation. He is my hope. He is my shield. He is my everything. And I put it all in Him. And through Him, I will survive. And Father, I thank You today for Your word. And I just pray, Father, as it's gone forth to this congregation, Father, as it goes out over the internet, Father, I pray that it would touch other hearts and lives, Father. Father, maybe someone will listen that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will be convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and they will give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone that's kind of teetering on the fence, don't know what to do. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts. And Father, that they're sick that are listening. Some of them will be healed, Father. The healing will come into their lives. Some are hurting because of incidences that have taken place. I pray, Father, that You would bring comfort and peace to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's House. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.